Grace and peace to you as we gather today in the house of the Lord, one of Orilla's houses. To the family of Dr. Orilla Ann Spangler McCarris, from here forward referred to as Orilla, to her colleagues and friends who have traveled to be here, and to Orilla's fellow congregants, welcome. We come together today with heavy hearts, but also with spirits full of profound gratitude. We are here to remember a woman who was a quiet treasure among us, a brilliant mind who explored the deep mysteries of God's universe, and a gentle soul who graced our pews, our front pews, every Sunday. Whether you knew her through her pioneering work in physics, through her decades of service here at Michigan State University, or simply as the quiet, thoughtful presence who loved the music and words of this sanctuary, you know how truly irreplaceable she is and was. Let us join together now in one heart and mind as we open this service with prayer. Almighty God, creator of the stars and author of peace, we ask for your help to receive your invited presence into this sanctuary. We thank you for the life of Orilla McCarris. We thank you for the immense capacity of thought and intellect you gave her, an intellect that sought your truth, hidden in the fabric of creation, yet who possessed a humility that reflected your spirit. Oh God, this sanctuary feels a bit emptier today without her steady presence in the front pew. We ask that you open our ears to the music she loved and open our hearts to the quiet comfort of your spirit. Comfort her family in their grief. Wrap your arms around her friends and colleagues and remind us all that life has changed. It has not ended. Speak to us now through our prayers, our songs, and remembrance and eulogy, that we might find inspiration from a life so magnificently lived, and that we acknowledge her witness of a quiet yet active faith in God and hope in the promise of eternal life following the Christ who has shown us all how to live and how to love. Amen.
Thank you. Hear these words, the 100th Psalm. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
My mom was an amazing, multifaceted woman, and I don't have the words to really describe what she meant to me, and so no matter what I say, it won't be enough. But she was one of the smartest, strongest, and most fiercely loyal people I ever knew. I grew up really proud of her, proud to have a mom who was a physicist who went into science at a time when it was hard for women to do that. I once asked her what her backup plan was if she hadn't gotten into graduate school in physics at Berkeley, and she didn't have one. She just assumed it would be okay. But she moved across the country to California without ever having been there, just like she'd gone to Oberlin sight unseen, and then my parents moved to Michigan without ever having visited. And they came here in 1965 and thought they would stay for a couple years, and 60 years later, she was still here with a tremendous community and roots. My mom was a really patient person, and she was the person I would call when I needed help, whether it was homework up through college, grammar, or knowing how to fix the heating element on my stove, which was just a couple years ago. I was still calling her. She taught me how to garden, how to make a pie, how to paddle a canoe, how to paint my house. She always loved making the pies for the second Saturday suppers here. She moved in with us in March when she'd been in the hospital twice, and she was really struggling, and one of the last things she bought was 5 tubes of tub caulk from Amazon because she was going to fix my tub. And for somebody who really liked being at home more than anywhere else, she somehow found herself on a lot of really amazing adventures. The last big one was her quest to New Zealand with Rachel a couple years ago, and she systematically walked miles every day so she would be fit to walk the miles that were required when she got there. She loved my family and my kids with all of her heart and loved being present for them, and that means so much to me. And she and I would talk for hours every week, and I'm gonna miss that more than I can say. So thank you.
Come right up. Thank you, Louise.
My mom, Nancy Seebeck, has been a very close friend of Rilla's for a long time and has asked me to read some words that she wrote. So what she wrote about Rilla is, "My dear sweet Rilla was a dear friend for more than 50 years. We were neighbors and began seeing each other when Rilla and I took our daughters, Louise and Meredith, to swimming lessons at Hannah. Neither of us was a good swimmer, and we were determined that our daughters would become good swimmers, which they did. Sometimes when we couldn't see them, they were swimming around underwater to tease us. Another bunch of lessons happened years later when Meredith was getting married, and Rilla and I took dancing lessons because we knew we would have to dance at Meredith's wedding, and Bill and Charlie were dragged along. We all went skiing together when Charlie and I had never been on skis, and we four were a sight. We have eaten lots of wonderful food together at restaurants and at our homes, always with chocolate. For years and years, Charlie and I and Bill and Rilla have enjoyed many, many concerts at MSU, and Bill always wanted front row seats, but we persuaded him to settle for second row seats. Rilla and I have gone to senior exercise classes at Hannah for more than 20 years together. We walked together half the year and became closer friends. She tolerated my picking up leaves and acorns every year, and we learned about all the different oak trees planted at Hannah. It was so fun to learn with her. She was my closest, dearest friend, and I miss her very much.
Is there any other family member that would like to speak? Thank you.
Morning. I do not recall precisely what a first meeting with Rilla was. I've been thinking about that for a while now. I can tell you for sure it was Plymouth Church. I can tell you for sure it would have been early middle 80s, 40 plus years ago. And the 40 plus years have been great. There was certainly time with Rilla. Louise put in her time as our babysitter, however many years ago that was. There were any number of musical collaborations with Bill and an occasional get-together for lunch. And in thinking about all of this, I realized that's where my problem is. My brain automatically, in trying to come up with the memory of the meeting with Rilla, it automatically is a meeting with Rilla and Bill. You know, Bill talked. Rilla, not so much. And all of my early Rilla memories, they're all overwhelmed by the Bill memories. But over time, they came together. And the first impressions started kind of gelling. And this image of just a lovely gentlewoman. And then over time, as you know, hundreds of Sunday mornings at church, and the occasional some other social get together at church, and the chit chatting and a little bit of conversation. Like in the beginning, my thought was, okay, she's a little shy perhaps, but quiet, unassuming, gentlewoman. And it was just very, very neat. The next thing I can't tell you exactly was when it first came to mind that she does what? She knows what stuff? You know, physics, doctor, professors. No, this does not fit with this impression that I'd been developing over time. And that did nothing but just enhance it all. This lovely gentlewoman with an extraordinary intellect. And we never had a lot of conversations, and she never brought it up on her own. She certainly never lorded any of that over anyone. She never put on airs. Just this charming, quiet, unassuming lady who knew all this stuff that she, and the trips for eclipses and the journeys that she and Bill did. I said, this is an extraordinary woman. I have one particular memory that sticks in my head. Bill and I did a number of, like I say, you know, call them musical collaborations, some of them arguably a little harebrained. He would come up with some really extraordinary ideas of what we should do together. And I had an occasion to go to their home. We'd occasionally meet there to go off to wherever we were going. And I had met at their house. I'm pretty sure that Rilla had made cookies. That was pretty neat. But we were gathering up equipment and keyboards or whatever, and at some point in the conversation, talking about what the event was, and I don't recall exactly which one it was, probably some piano organ thing that we were doing together, and in discussing it, Rilla did what sticks in my head as what I would only call a loving eye roll about this arguably harebrained thing that Bill had come up with for this occasion. She was just an absolutely supportive wife, loving mother, and to each one of us here, a friend, of course, and the way she presented herself, she just made it so very easy to like her, so very easy to love her. And that is the language that we use today. We love Rilla, each of us, whether it's such as myself as a friendship. Louise, I am reminded again today, none of us is ever too old to be an orphan. Thoughts and best wishes and prayers with you. But each one of us, we talk in terms of loving Rilla. And what I would say next, many of you have heard this all before. I could apologize for not having something new to say, but the farther I go, the more I like this idea. We do not talk today in terms of past tense. We don't say we used to love Rilla. No, we love Rilla. At some point, a decision was made. No respiration, no pulse, no brainwave activity, and Rilla was pronounced dead. And yet, pick the term that you like best, spirit, soul, essence, person. To have been there when that declaration was made we would know that it's not nearly that simple, because that thing that was Rilla had nothing to do with pulse and respiration. She would have been missing there. I love the word mystery. If I had to make a short list of favorite scriptures, this one verse would be certainly on my list. From Paul's first letter that he wrote to the little church at Corinth, chapter 15, verse 51, Paul wrote, "Listen, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all die, but we will all be changed." Rilla did not die. Rilla changed, and the change is awful. The change is horrible. We hate the change. But if in any tiny little way we can begin to grasp that notion, Rilla did not die. That was not an ending. Rilla changed. That being the case, we can begin in whatever tiny little way to know that Rilla is with us now, here and now. Rilla is with us this day and all our days. We love Rilla now and all our days. Amen. Hear now these words from 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting with the 7th verse. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing."
Thank you.
I have never known another person named Rilla. Nor have I ever known another person like Rilla. Although she was definitely unique and one of a kind, she was really more than that. To speak a bit more poetically of this amazing woman, I would describe her as an unrepeated pattern in winter's frost. A light filtered through a completely unique prism. A melody never captured by sheet music. A solitary star in a quiet constellation. And a single gemstone hidden among the common sand. I met this gemstone on April 23rd, 2017. I got one on you, Dave. I know exactly when I met Rilla. When Deanna and I walked into this sanctuary for the very first time, for those of you who are not members of this church, I had felt a pull back into the calling and profession of my younger years after a 20-year hiatus. I had decided after thorough investigation that the congregational way was my first choice after both personal and theological evolution away from earlier pathways. Rilla turned out to be my entry point. She was the lay leader here, otherwise known as the moderator at that time. My predecessor, Dr. Rick Martin, had announced his retirement and the search was on. Rilla was the search committee chair. On the day we came, the very first day, word had gotten around to Rilla that I might be interested in applying for the position. Alertly, she approached me that day and asked if I could return the following Sunday and bring along with me my credentials. That began a journey which lasted almost 9 years and counting. But it was not without a bit of anxiety for me, as Rilla did the most thorough investigation, especially with my references, who reported to me later that they were grilled. To many, it may not sound like Rilla, because while she was characteristically thorough, she actually was quite aggressive with her investigation, although always with integrity. But her qualities of determination and purpose as she represented this entire congregation were on full display. And I'm not really sure that I would be here were it not for Rilla. And I say, thanks, Rilla. One of my great joys was being her pastor for many years, something that Reverend Dave and I have wonderfully in common. Rilla was a wonderful leader in the church. She was quiet, that's well established. But she did have opinions, and sometimes those were strong opinions. But she carefully avoided open conflict and always wanted to preserve church unity with consensus. And Rilla was a master at that. She volunteered in the office for a while soon after I arrived. And I remember some great discussions that she and I had in those early days. She was happy when we made the decision to remove the American flag from the sanctuary and the picture of the white Jesus that hung in the office. Both of those items were well intended, but entirely inappropriate. In so many ways, Rilla and I were on the same page. It was during that time that I developed a profound admiration for her keen intellect, which represented more than just a degree or credentials. It informed and shaped her progressive faith. Her sterling quality credentials were superseded by her platinum quality credibility. Rilla walked the walk. She loved adventure, travel, music, reading, eclipses. Here's one I love: cars with manual transmissions. I think it was only her last car that had an automatic transmission. One of my early times here, I'll remember, Rilla had her Volkswagen Passat with a 6-speed manual in it. We went off to see somebody for a visit, and I was looking over at this older woman just drive that thing like Mario Andretti. It brought out a lot of admiration and appreciation. She loved a lot of things. It goes without saying that she was a person not only of intelligence, but with incredible depth. And really, that's putting it mildly. So here we are, gathered to celebrate a life that moved with the silent elegance of the cosmic laws she spent her life decoding. As a physicist, Dr. Rilla Macaris understood that the most powerful forces in the universe were also the most quiet. She did not live her life like thunder. Instead, she was the steady, luminous light of a distant star, brilliant, constant, and anchoring. To sit before her, along with her beloved husband, Bill, right here, with her immense intellect, it was initially intimidating to me. But I quickly learned that Rilla's brilliant mind was paired with a deeply gentle spirit. She was an ocean held in a quiet cup, a profound sanctuary of thought who never needed to shout to illuminate the world around her. And she illuminated it. This same brilliant mind that commanded respect at Michigan State University was entirely at home here in the house of God. Her faith was never loud, but it was deep, and it found its weekly expression in a very specific, cherished routine. Every Sunday, she took her place at the front of the sanctuary. She positioned herself where the sound waves were the purest, absorbing the music she loved so dearly, as if hearing the hidden mathematics of creation translated into praise. And Rilla was probably one of the few people I've ever known that could do that so magnificently. But she was not only listening to the choir, the piano, or a soloist. She was a deeply thoughtful listener to liturgy, scripture, and indeed sermons. To preach before a mind of her caliber was a humbling task. Yet from the front pew, her quiet attention became a source of profound encouragement to me. She listened not to critique, although I'm sure she could have, but to connect her vast understanding of the physical world with her quiet, enduring faith. Her support was never loud, but it was absolute, a gentle gravity that helped keep our entire beloved community together. Her unique ability to see the divine in the silent precision of the universe brings to mind the words of the psalmist, who wrote about a creation that praises God without speaking a word. So hear these words from Psalm 19. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims God's handiwork. Each day pours forth speech, and each night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard, yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Rilla has now stepped beyond the limits of human physics. She has traded the equations of this world for the perfect sight of the Creator. Bon voyage, Rilla. We love you, and we will see you again. So let us now join our hearts in prayer as we entrust Rilla to that eternal home. Eternal God of the heavens and Lord of our hearts, we thank you for the gift, the wonderful gift of our sister Rilla, who walked among us as a quiet exception in a loud world. We thank you for her brilliant mind, which saw your glory hidden within the complex equations of physics, and for her tender heart, which found comfort in the harmonies of worship in this very sanctuary. We bless you for her silent, steadfast support of this ministry and her thoughtful presence in our pews and in all of our lives. Now, as her earthly work is done, we surrender her into your eternal care. May her brilliant soul expand into the ultimate harmony of your presence, where all mysteries are solved, all questions answered, and the music never ends. Amen. In a moment, I'll offer the benediction to the honor of Rilla's life and the God that she loved. In the meantime, just words of instruction here. Most of you know the Friendship Center back here, where a meal will be served, provided by the family and supported by the members of Mayflower Church. You just can make your way following the postlude, which will be one of those bell duets. Rilla loved the bells. Most of you know that Rilla was here playing the bells for many years. Receive now the benediction. And now as we leave this sanctuary for personal reflection shared around tables of food, may the Lord of all creation, who stretched out the heavens like a curtain and called every star by name, go before you. May the God who speaks in the gentle whisper hold you in the quiet places of your grief. Go forth into the world in peace. Be patient in the silence, steadfast in your love, and thoughtful in your walk. Remember that the same gentle gravity of faith that held our sister Rilla now holds each of you securely and eternally. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Spirit be with you all, now and in the grand harmony of life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
The piano will continue playing in just a moment, but we'll ask the family if they'd like to step out, and then the rest of us can join back in the Friendship Center where we can continue in fellowship and breaking bread. Go in peace.